So if people got the book, then great. If not, that's also fine. But again, like I recommended, again, this is the Hebrew, but the English is out there. It's good. I think it's good to review it on your own during the week, to go through some of the Yesodos, to have it, because there is a lot there. Certainly much more persons welcome to go much more deep and much more clarifying the Yesodos, the ideas that Rabbi Hoffman is preventing. So this week we're going to do two shirim. Everybody has a sheet? Yes, people in the back? Sheets? Okay. So this week we're going to do two shirim together because they're short and they relate to each other. So we're going to do two together and hopefully open up a different idea about how to deal with failure and tshuva and things like that. He begins in shir 2 to explain that sensitivity to sin, how we respond to aveira, to failing, to messing up, is different depending on the culture that you grew up in. Every culture in the world has a perspective on how to deal with failing and how to deal with sin. So Rabbi Hoffman says that when he was a probation officer and he had to go to the courts and talk about this person should go remain in jail, this person should not remain in jail, this person should has the possibility to be rehabilitated, this person doesn't have the possibility to be rehabilitated, and he would have to go and talk in front of the courts. And he said that often he would get a lot of pushback because he was a firm believer in tshuva, in repentance and rehabilitation. And there are people who did very, very bad things. And he would go and argue that it's 100% appropriate. This person should not spend time in jail. Rather, they should go into a rehabilitation facility and have another way in order to get better. And he got a lot of pushback from the secular world. You're Haredi, you don't understand, you're trying to undermine the court system. But he honestly felt there was a way and a how to rehabilitate and to get better. And he tells the following story. He says that when he was younger, he was invited to give a series of lectures to the Shomer HaTzair. Shomer HaTzair is the young secular Zionist organization movement in Israel. And he wasn't sure whether he should go or not. But he was advised by Rav Chaskel Sarna, the Rosh Yeshiva Chevron, that he should go. Because he said, even if you make nobody from, even if nobody becomes more religious to your talks, at least hopefully you'll lessen the dislike that the secular Zionists have for the from community. At least something positive will come from that. So he went and he gave these talks, and he noticed that many of the young idealistic Zionists, they thought they were very original, they thought they were writing things that nobody had written before, they were unique, they were special in the way they approached the world. So he told them that it's not true. You think that you're writing in a new Israeli, the new Zionistic style, and I don't have a gullus mentality anymore, I'm not like the Jews in the old country in Europe, I'm better than that. But he said it's 100% not the case. He said every single person, whether you're Jewish, Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, whatever it is, are influenced by the society that they grew up in and they are raised in. And no one is completely original. There's no person who can say about themselves that I am original and everything I do is from my own mind, my own independent approach to the world, and nothing informs how I view the world. And they fought back terribly against him. And he said, you know what? Let's offer a test. He said, you hand me any novel, any storybook, and I'll read 3 pages, and I will tell you, without looking who the author is, where the culture of this author came from. I'll tell you whether the person is Muslim, Buddhist, Jewish, Christian, whatever it is. I'll be able to read it. And they tried it with him, and every single time he guessed correctly. Every single time Rabbi Hoffman could guess, I know this person was raised in this type of household, this person was raised in this type of community, and he knew it almost every single time. So he said, how do you do that? And he explained that there's a difference between behavior and response. There's a difference between the way I act on my own and how I respond to things. All stories contain conflict. It's not a good story if there's no conflict. Nobody wants to read a story about somebody where everything grew up perfectly, their parents were amazing, they made a lot of money, they had great kids, and they went on great vacations, and they died. That's not interesting for anybody to read. You want to read stories that there's conflict, there's disagreement, there's struggle they have to overcome. So in that struggle that the person writes about, he said, you'll find when they're struggling with improper behavior, feeling bad about their behavior, when the Christian authors, you find that the response often to the behavior is often suicide. Because the person feels, after sinning, there's nothing left to live for. In the Christian society, they believe in original sin. And if a person messes up, then what is the purpose of living anymore? What have I accomplished anymore? There's no path to do tshuva. And we'll talk about tshuva in a moment. And that we find that often in that society. the response in that society, in that mentality, in that culture, was to give up because there's nothing left to do. Feelings of chet, a feeling that a person sinned, a person didn't do what they were supposed to do, a person failed, exist everywhere. There's not a culture in the world that does not have to struggle with feeling like you messed up. Every culture has to deal with that. The only difference is not in the behavior of the chet. Every culture has a behavior of chet. The only difference between the cultures is what's the response to that behavior? What do you do when you mess up? How do you attack now that you've fallen down? The culture impacts our response to chet. And where you grow up, the house you grow up in, your involvement in messing up is going to impact how you're going to respond to when you do mess up. So he goes on to explain the term response, the idea of responding to something in the human psyche. And he says response, how we respond to things, is a very important part of dealing with our kochos hanefesh. So Rabbi Hoffman gives two examples of how we respond differently based on where our neshama, where our psyche is holding. He says the first is a very extreme example. He says a terrorist comes into the room with a knife and he begins to threaten the room. So there's five people sitting in the room. One person in the room will flee and jump out the window. Another person will take a chair and try to attack the terrorist. Another person will scream and cry. Another person will be frozen in place. They're all experiencing the same thing at the same time, correct? Right? They're all looking at the same thing from a similar perspective. But the response is different to each person. Pachad is with every person. Every single person in the room when there's a terrorist there is experiencing pachad. You cannot deny it. If they're not experiencing pachad, then there's something not properly wired in their brain. Of course you're going to be afraid when you see somebody with a knife in front of you threatening your life. The question is, what's going to be the response in that situation? And the response to pachad, the response to failure, the response to trauma is what makes each of us different. Look at the Rambam. You have here in front of you the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam wrote an introduction to the Mishnah Torah. The Mishnah Torah is the Rambam's main work of halacha. And he wrote an introduction to the Mishnah Torah called the Sefer HaMitzvos. There he delineates in his opinion what are the 613 mitzvos, the 365 negative commandments, and the 248 positive commandments. The Rambam seems to understand, and this is what Rav Shechter points out as well, is that there's a mitzvah to learn Taryag Mitzvos. Not only is it a mitzvah to learn about the 613 mitzvos, but when it says b'limadatem osam, to learn them, so there's a mitzvah to learn what are the 613 mitzvos. So the Rambam wrote a sefer laying out for us what are, in his opinion, the 613 mitzvos. There's obviously a big debate. The Ramban says some should be in, some should be out, and the Sefer Achinuch has his opinion, and the Sefer Mitzvos HaGadol has their opinion, and all different types of things. But if you look here, in Mitzvos Lo Sasei, the 317th negative commandment, the mitzvah is Lo Sikalel Cheresh. You may not curse a deaf person. So what's the Torah trying to tell us? You shouldn't curse anybody, this is the source of the mitzvah. But not only should you not curse anybody, you shouldn't even curse a deaf person who what? Can't even hear the curse. That's how far it goes. So the Rambam says there are two parts to every single person when they get upset. The first level is the amount that you are offended by. What is your threshold of being annoyed by that person? And the second thing is the level of action needed for you to calm down. Every single time you come across a person who upsets you, whether it's from the smallest thing to the biggest thing, there are always two things going on. How upset is this thing making you? And what do you need to calm down? Does that make sense? So let's look at this in the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam says, one, kishahanefesh misoreres v'hina kemin hamazik lefi ofen hanezek hanikba bedimyon. When the nefesh, when the human psyche is awakened to have rebuke, to push back at somebody who hurt them in a way that is nikva bedimyon, according to their, what? Their imagination. Meaning, two people can feel the same response, can have the same difficulty with a person, but their threshold, how annoying that is, could be different. Both of you could get a ticket this morning on Central Avenue, even though you're just running in to do the biggest chesed in the world, right? You're running in to do it to a store, to an office, to literally save orphan children and drop off a check for $1 million, while at the same time, you know, handing out food to the poor. And you're doing the whole thing, like, all in one thing. And you're running in, and you know, this is not to be say negative things about our faithful meter maids here in the Five Towns, but sometimes they can be They can be a bit vicious. They can be a bit trigger happy on that ticket machine, right? And they're waiting there to give you a ticket. So you come out and you got a ticket and I was doing a chesed. How could this happen to me? Now, the question is, what's your threshold of being annoyed by that ticket? It's like, hey, whatever it happens, I got a ticket, end of the story, I'll move on to the next thing. Or like, oh my gosh, I'm calling your mother and your father and your sister, I got a ticket. And for the next 3 days, all you think about is this ticket, how could this happen? Everyone has a different level of dimyon, says the Rambam, of what that offense is going to measure for you. That's the first thing, okay? The second thing the Rambam says is, lo techdal l'sorer ar asher ta'anish es hamazik, l'fi ofen hanezek hanikba b'dimyon. Now, the only way you're going to calm down is once you have responded to that annoyance, to the person who annoyed you, in the appropriate level, according to your imagination. And only once that person got what they deserved, are you going to calm down. Some people, you know, just saying a curse word, you know, saying a not nice word to the person is enough. And they'll calm down. And how much they're going to embarrass them and respond to that person. Some people say, I need more. Until I take a bat and I break that person's window. And I damage something that person did. Then I'll calm down. Because the amount of pain that you caused me by giving me that ticket is only commensurate with me taking a baseball bat and driving it through your window. Meaning that's only going to be equal that I'm going to calm down. They need more. Now, you gave me a ticket, so that means I'm going to have to punch you in the face. And it's not, the amount that I need to calm down from the ticket is going to be, in my imagination, equal to me punching you in the face. And then he says, the worst, until I take the person's life, and I remove him from reality. And it depends on how severe the sin was and what the person did to me. But at the end of the day, are we clear what the Rambam is saying? You need two things for every reaction. First is you need to measure for yourself how bad was they did to me. And the second thing is, what do I need to do to that person to feel that I've calmed down? And that's what the Rambam says. It's usher to curse a deaf person, because the cursing of a deaf person is not about them. It's about you. It's the Torah is telling you, your response to being offended needs to be in check. Doesn't matter if it's about you having control over yourself. You can have two people who are hurt in the same way, and they can both have two different reactions, depending on the perception of how severely they were harmed, and the reaction that will lead them to feel calm. The reason why you can't curse a deaf person is because the response in cursing is not about defending another person. It's about learning to control yourself. It's about being a ben adam and being in control of your emotions. Okay? Behavior and response. So he then goes on to say, in the name of the following medrash. The medrash Tehillim, this is the Yalkut Shimoni Tehillim in Remez Tavshin Beis. Let's read the medrash together. Everybody has the medrash there in front of them? Yes? Let's read the medrash together. Sha'alu l'chachma. They asked wisdom. Chote ma'onsho. I asked logic. I asked human reason. What is the punishment for a sinner? And the answer is in Mishlei Amarlei, chata'im tirdofara. The answer is to undergo tshuva through yisurim, to be pursued in order to cleanse the neshama. The next thing is sha'alu l'nevuah. They asked prophecy. Chote ma'onsho. What does nevuah have to say about a person who sins? So it says Yecheskel Navi, the Navi, Hanefesh Hachotas Hitamos. It says that the only way to cleanse a person is through Yisurim, but through Misa, through death. The ultimate tragedy, the ultimate suffering, and if the sin is very severe, then death is the only way to escape that sin. Another form of Yisurim. They ask the Torah, Sha'alu the Torah, what does the Torah say? Chote ma'onsho, what is the punishment of a person who sins? What does the Torah say? Amar le yavi asham v'yiskaper lo. The Torah says, bring a korban, because that will help the korban as a visual example of death. When I see the animal burning on the Mizbeach, that will remind me of Yisurim undergoing the punishments for my sin. Now, giving up on life, running towards death, is not the Jewish way. We're not saying here that the Torah is saying one should lead towards death. We don't give up. But the thinking of the Yom HaMis undergoing difficulties, again, is the Torah's response. So finally, Shaul HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they asked Hashem, Hashem, what is the response to messing up? What's the response to failure? And what does it say? Chotz Ma'on Shamar Lei? Yasid Shuvi Skapalo. Do Tshuva, says Hashem. What do you know, all these other things? Yisurin, difficulties, tragedies, korbanos, all these types of things. Do Tshuva! And that's the response to it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a different approach. Change your actions. Behave differently. And now we'll bring kapara. The aspect of Tshuva, says Rabbi Hoffman, and this is something I hope we've all heard before, is a uniquely Jewish concept. We do not find Tshuva in other cultures. It is a uniquely Jewish concept that appears nowhere else. We don't believe nefesh hachotas tamus, as Yechezkel Navi seems to say. I'm not saying Yechezkel is wrong. But that concept of what to do, that, oh, person sins, death, that's it. You know, take in the shingle, close up shop, there's no more business here, we're done, we have person has to give up. That is not a Jewish concept. We have free choice. We can all become different after we mess up and after we make a mistake. The worst thing a person can do is to be, can always be fixed with tshuva. There's a tshuva of the Noda Behuda. The Noda Behuda was asked, if it's the case, this is just a side point, just to clarify things. The Noda Behuda asks, why is it that if a person can always do tshuva, then why there is ever punishment in Beis Din, right? If tshuva is the best response to everything, so why is if a person's Mechal Shabbos, he can do tshuva and he doesn't have to be killed with skila? Why is if a person has an inappropriate relationship, there has to be punishment in Beis Din, and they, why doesn't just say tshuva, you know, pull a tshuva card, I'm free, and that's it. So the Noda Behuda says, technically, it should work. You're right. But the problem is, we can't function in a society where every single time a person does something wrong, tshuva, I get out of jail. That's it. Society can't function that way. We have to ein l'dayin l'dun elamash ein avros. The judge can only judge based on what his eyes see. So I can't look inside you and say, oh, tshuva? Like, I don't have an x-ray machine that can say that you did tshuva inside. So he says, on a technicality, we have no choice. Because then you'd have the whole world doing wrong things in tshuva, right? Lamashal here in SKA, right? You have a girl who's constantly late to class, five times, comes like 5 minutes before the bell rings, the end of the period, and he's like, oh, we need to take off points off your final grade. Tshuva, sorry, I did tshuva, so everything's been removed, I won't do it again. Then who's going to judge whether that's honest or not? So on a technicality, we have it. But the point for us is that between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every single thing can be done tshuva for, and there's nothing that you cannot fix at the end of the day. All cultures have a feeling of failure, and the culture you grew up in is going to impact your response to failure. So why do we find, then, that Jewish people give up, then? Then if our culture is telling us tshuva and tefillah and changing ourselves and being better is an option, so why is it that I assume everybody here knows a person who's given up at one point, who said, it's just not for me, I'm checking out, I'm done. And maybe it was us, maybe it was one of us as well, saying, I can't, I'm just giving up, it's not part of what I want to do, it's too much for me, I cannot repair what I did, and I can't do anymore. So, if I just told you that part of Jewish culture is tshuva, so why do we find that Jews give up? He says, because a person mistakenly feels that they can't change. And tomorrow will be the same, and the day after that. You know, he says, by Catholics sin, they go to confession, and then everything they did is wiped clean. But why do they do that? Because Catholics understand that a person cannot live with the burden of messing up so much. You can't go through life saying, I'm a failure in this, I'm a failure in that, I'm a failure over here, and nothing ever works for me. The person's going to not be able to function. So what do? They wipe the slate clean, and a person doesn't change. So they simply give up on the possibility that you can be better. That's the mistake in Catholicism. In Catholicism, they give up on the possibility of you being better. So what do? They just press Control-Alt-Delete, and they reset the whole thing, and you start again. But there's no demand, there's no expectation that you're going to change, you're going to be better. It's just that you say, I'm sorry for what I did, okay, it's too much to live with that burden, wipe it clean and start again. But that's not what Judaism says. Tshuva says, you messed up. We all admit that you messed up. But now you're going to be different. You're going to change, you're going to pick a different path, and you're going to do better. Because we sincerely believe and know that you can pick up where you messed up at that point. So he ends this section with a story from Rav Isaac Sher. He says that Rav Isaac Sher was once, his Rebbe, Rosh Yiv Chevron, was once talking with another Rav in Eretz Yisrael, and he said that this Rav had a shaila, should he leave Eretz Yisrael to go learn in a different yeshiva, or go teach in a different yeshiva, that'll be much better for his learning, or stay in Eretz Yisrael. So before I tell you what Rav Isaac Sher said, so I just want to tell you, he's speaking, he's not speaking in my perspective, he's speaking from certainly a more Haredi, you know, not religious Zionist perspective. So Rav Isaac Sher, but the message is the same. Rav Isaac Sher looked at this Rav and he said, you don't want to leave Eretz Yisrael because you've been influenced by the Zionists. You think that the value of living in Eretz Yisrael overrides learning better in Chutz Laaretz. You've been learning from the Zionists. So this Rav was offended. He said, what are you talking about? I don't read, you know, Zionist magazines or books or things like that. I'm a card-carrying member of the Haredi public. I don't believe in these things. Of course, Torah is more important than Eretz Yisrael. I would never, you know, read such things. So Rav Isaac Sher said, you don't need to read a book to be influenced by an idea. You live in Israel. You're influenced by the culture and the society around you. Being in Eretz Yisrael, in a Zionist country, influences you to have those feelings. The culture you live in, whether or not you're reading their books, is going to influence you at some point. You need to be aware that the culture around you, whether you're listening to the music, or whether you're reading the books, or whether you're looking at the Instagrams, whatever it is, it's going to influence you just by sitting in that culture. And he said, you've become a Zionist without even realizing it because you haven't been sensitive that you're living into that culture. And that was his point to that person. Again, there's a value living in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not here to debate that point. But the message there, that you can be influenced by something even without reading or coming face to face, is very much apparent. Okay, good. That is shir number two. Questions on that? No. Everyone's afraid to talk because this thing is on, right? Okay. Do you want me to pause it? No? Okay. So let's go to shir number three. He goes on here to talk about a beautiful idea regarding tshuva. And he talks about the yesod of tshuva. So he begins with an idea from Rabbeinu Yonah. One day during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, many, many years ago, Rav Hoffman was in the yeshiva in Chevron, and his Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Chaskel Sarna, came by and he saw him looking very, very sad. So Rabbi Hoffman, and he asked Rabbi Hoffman, he said, why are you so upset? Look at the pain on your face. What's going on? So he said, what do you mean? It's a Aseres Yimei Tshuva. It's a serious time. I have to work on myself. I have to develop myself. There's a lot to struggle with over here. So Rav Chaskel Sarna argued and he said, no, what are you talking about? Aseres Yimei Tshuva is a time to be happy. You have a mitzvah of tshuva. Why would you not be besimcha during the 10 days of repentance? And he said, there's a machlokes in the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah. And he said, the minag is to follow Rabbeinu Yonah, who writes in the Shari Tshuva, and this is Rabbi Hoffman's interpretation, this is a Mesorah that he heard from Chaskel Sarna in the Shem Al-Sav Slabarka from Mesorah Salanta. If you read through the Shari Tshuva in the first Shari, it's not clear he's saying this, but this is their interpretation of what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. The Rabbeinu Yonah says that a person is considered to be Shav al Hashem, returning to Hashem, when you've placed himself on the Derech HaTov. Hisyat Sev al Derech HaTov. If you put myself on the highway towards good, even though I have not gotten to the goal yet, you're still considered doing tshuva as long as you're heading in the right direction. So what does this mean? So Rabbi Hoffman gave a mashal in the name of Yisrael Salanter, but he updated it. He said, let's say you were told, you're leaving Yerushalayim, and you want to go to Bnei Brak. And you know that Bnei Brak is 60 minutes away, north of Yerushalayim. So you leave Yerushalayim, or 60 minutes away, and you leave Yerushalayim, and you start driving 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, 2 hours, 3 hours, and whoa, you haven't seen Bnei Brak, you're all famished, you don't know what's going on, and you finally stop, and you say, at a gas station, a local house, somewhere, and you say, I need directions. I was told that Bnei Brak is 60 minutes away from Yerushalayim, and I've been driving for 2-3 hours, and nothing's cooking over here. So the guy tells you, you're right. Bnei Brak is 60 minutes from Yerushalayim if you were heading in the right direction. But you're already in Eilat, and you've been heading in the wrong place. So you're now 2 or 3 times as far away from Bnei Brak as you need to be. And now you have to turn around. So the moment you, who meant to be in Bnei Brak, are now in Eilat, start to turn around and you start heading in the right direction towards Bnei Brak, what would we say? Are you heading now in the right direction? Are you heading in the right direction? But are you not further away than you wanted to be? 100%. But as long as you're heading in the right direction, it doesn't matter how far away you are. Such a beautiful idea. As long as you're heading in the right direction, it doesn't matter if you're 2 hours away or 2 days away. Because eventually, you'll get closer and closer, you'll make your way there. But the only issue is, are you headed on the right highway in the right place? The amount of time from your goal doesn't determine if you're doing the right thing. Rather, as long as you're heading in the right direction towards your goal, then you're on the right path. So he says that Reb Chaskel Sarna taught that tshuva is not something that happens in a day or even in 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Tshuva is something that happens over a lifetime of a journey. It's being on a derech, it's being on a path towards tshuva. It happens over time to come closer and closer to Hashem and to become better and more refined kli to serve Hashem. Every single day is a path or an act of tshuva. Being on that derech tov. So Rabbi Yisrael showed this from a Gemara in Maseches Nida. Okay? Look at this Gemara. The Gemara is dealing with contradictory psukim. What the topic of the Gemara is not for us right now, it's not so important, but the Gemara is dealing with contradictory psukim. And the Gemara says, how do I rectify these two different things? And the Gemara says, kan be'osin tshuva, kan b'she'en osin tshuva. One case is a person is doing tshuva, and the other case is a person is not doing tshuva. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, it doesn't say kan ba'asu tshuva, but kan k'she'en asu tshuva. It doesn't say that one case is a person who did tshuva, and another case is a person who did not do tshuva. It says one is a case of a person who is doing tshuva in the present tense. A person does teshuva, says Rishal Salanter. A person does not have done teshuva. A person she needs to be doing teshuva. If you want to be better about Shmiras HaLashon, then you're kabbalah on yourself to learn Chafetz Chaim, then you are al derech tov. You're on the right path. Did you fix all of your Shmiras HaLashon issues? No. But are you heading in the right direction? Are you heading towards Bnei Brak? Are you heading in that right path? It could be that you're 2 days away, 10 days away, 2 years away, 20 years away. But if you're driving al derech hatov, if you're riding in that right path, says Rosh Salanter, then you are being osa tshuva. It's not how life works. Life doesn't work that overnight everything gets better. That's not how people function. It's not how the world functions. And if anybody here thinks that your life is going to change over one night, over one thing that you do, you're making a terrible mistake. A terrible, terrible mistake. We have to think in the long run, in the long term. The Gemara in Krisa says that Yom Kippur is mechaper for shavin, for people who are returning, people who are in the process of turning. Not people who are shavu, people who have returned. Yom Kippur works for people who are in the process, on the derech of tshuva. It takes time. The yisod of hisyat seves al derech tov, to stand, to go on the path of good, is a major yisod from Yechaskel Sarna. He writes about it at length in the Sefer Delios Yechezkel and Chela Gimli. He has many, many pages about this idea. And it's based heavily on the letters of Yisrael Salanter. So let's read through some of the letter of Yisrael Salanter, the Or Yisrael. The Or Yisrael are a collection of the major letters of Yisrael Salanter. He never wrote a formal book, but his students, Rav Yitzhak Blaser from Tully Amsterdam, they collected the letters together and put them in a book. I'll be honest with you. The letters are not easy. If a person says they want to learn Or Yisrael, they're not easy letters. I would recommend either a sefer that has a perush on the Or Yisrael, or there is an English translation. Rabbi Yisrael Miller has a translation of Or Yisrael. They require work to figure out exactly what he's saying, but let's learn some of the letters together. This is from the 30th letter. He says, Pen chas v'shalom nitku mar yorshe levavo v'nis batlu hergasho. He says, chas v'shalom, a person is cut off and his heart doesn't feel anything. Af gam b'davrach, even in one thing, ashi yivada l'mala, ki hu begeder eina osa tshuva. It will be known above that you are not a person who's doing tshuva anymore. Ki benavshehu chas v'shalom. They'll know that inside you have said you're not interested. If a person knows that there's what to fix and what to improve, then you're considered osin tshuva. But if a person is not aware, a person feels there's nothing to fix, I'm not interested in ever being better, I'm not aware that I have what to work on, then there's nothing to change, and then you're in a dangerous place, as we saw. A person needs to know that there's something to work on. He says, "B'chol zos b'sefer achayim yichashev, b'yosu chayim argish." You will be inscribed in the book of life if you are living. There's chiyas, there's feeling inside of you. Your neshama is alive. There's something to work with. There's something to cook with. And he says, "L'chol asher yichaber alachayim yesh bitachon ubichlal osei tshuva yimana." You will be attached to people who are considered life, and you are one amongst those who are osei tshuva. The minimum to be inscribed in the Sefer Achayim, says Shaul Salanter, is to be chai umargish, to be alive, to have feeling, to that there's something churning inside, that there's what to work with, you have what to work upon, there's what to improve with. You need to feel that you're not perfect, and there's something about you that can be improved upon. And he says that the feeling that there's something incomplete is a hergish that needs to begin the process of tshuva. Feeling that something is lacking is okay. It doesn't mean you're depressed. Let's read the rest of this letter. He says, "Kein gam inyan osin tshuva ve'enam osin tshuva." This is the difference between people who are doing tshuva and people who are not doing tshuva. Hu al pi bechinas yedia sichlis. It's all about what's going up here in the head. If you are prepared intellectually to do tshuva, as I Kaddish Baruch Hu Ma'arich Apo, Hashem will have all the patience in the world. Umamtin ad tshuva sevachai, and he will wait and wait and wait and wait, as long as you have a feeling that you want to do something. V'im al pi yedia sichlis enu mukshar l'tshuva. But if intellectually you have decided, no, I daven this much, I learn this much Torah, I do this much chesed, I'm only this nice. Not too nice, I'm only this nice. I only give this much respect to my parents, and I only, you know, feel this way about this thing. Then Hashem will say, no, you are not mukhshar l'tshuva. Im mikol makom b'chirasu l'asu tshuva. As I chas v'chalil chafetz l'amiso. It could be, then Hashem chas v'shalom will say, it's enough with this person. Im lo yeh la'adam z'chus machri l'chaim. You won't have life. Umau yasod shi ha'adam mukhshar l'tshuva. What shows that you are prepared for tshuva? Hu ahergesh, it is the feeling, shi achai margish b'chasano. That you are sensitive that there is what to work on. V'az ha'tikva yishisor l'tshuva, then there will be hope for tshuva. Avol im ein hergesh, if there's no feeling, ha'tshuvim ein tevelein. Where will the tshuva come from if you have nothing to feel that you have what to work upon? So he says, look here in the Chovas, this is not Rasal anymore, this is Rabbi, back to Rabbi Hoffman. Look at the Chovas Halavavos, Shar Tshuva Perigimel. He says, Aval b'ma shetiyah ha'tshuva me'adam omer b'zeh, ki titachin lo acher hakdamas yedias b'sheva dvarim. He says, tshuva requires seven things. We're not going to do all seven, we're just going to do number one. Harishon shiyadea gnus maseo yediyah brura. A person must realize that he did something improper. Most people go through life thinking that things don't need to be fixed or don't need to be repaired. And that's unfortunate that they're living their life with a mistake. If a person feels, I'm good, no one should ever think that I have anything to work upon, I'm good. So that is a big problem for tshuva. He says, "Ki im lo yisbarer lo, ze yeh mistapek o shogeg bilti mayzid." And he says, if a person doesn't clarify this, or he thinks he only makes a mistake, a person doesn't want to feel guilty, right? So you messed up, right? So you'll tell yourself, it was a mistake, I wasn't looking where I was going, I didn't understand. So even though you did something you shouldn't have done on purpose, you say, oh, it was b'shogeg, whatever, and you cannot face the reality that, no, I failed at something, I messed up. And he says, lo titachin acharat menu alav. So then after, you're not going to have charat, you're not going to feel bad. After attaining knowledge of being lo beseder, just now that you have to move on to the next step, that you have regret. Now you can continue on the path of tshuva. Ubakasha samechilik bo kamo shikasov, ki posheani eda chatasi negi tamid. A person has to realize that he failed at something. So it shows, says Rabbi Hoffman, that being self-aware and understanding that you failed is actually part of tshuva. Knowing that you messed up is part of tshuva. Because now I can go on the derech hatov, I can go on the path, I can turn my car around now that I'm in a lot, and I can head in the right direction, and I can understand that something was not beseder, and it's important to be considered now part of the people who are being osed tshuva. That I've come to a recognition that I can do better. We'll end right now with three tools. Rabbi Hoffman brings three tools how to get on the derech of tshuva. Ready? Good? Everyone's with me? Okay. Three tools to get on the derech hatov. He says the first thing is the belief that you can change. If you don't think you can change, then there's nowhere to start. Often a person feels they cannot change the way they are. You know people, he says, first of all, you know people who have changed. So first of all, it's possible. You all here know a person who did something very bad, made a mistake in something, and they changed, they became better. So if they can change, why can't you change? And also, you yourself have also changed. You've all changed things about you, grown in different areas. So if you grew and changed in one area, why can't you change and grow in a different area as well and become stronger? There are three reasons why we think we can't change, he says. The first is our imagination. Our imagination paints a false image of what we look like or what we're attainable, of what's attainable, what our kochos really are. If we had an honest sense of ourselves, of what we really knew about ourselves, we would be much stronger. We're also afraid of change. We have a fear of being different. And also we have habit. It's hard to change habits. And the more we're in a habit, the more difficult it is to change. But we can change. And we all have bechira. And there is no such thing as ever saying, this is just the way I am. There's no such thing as that. That's number one. You have to believe you can change. Number two, says Rabbi Hoffman, look at the Vilna Gaon. We're going to learn a number of beautiful pieces here from the Gra and Mishlei. The Gra and Mishlei is outstanding. Every single piece there is outstanding. I don't know of a translation of the Gra and Mishlei, but I do know that a person is interested to hear more Gra and Mishlei, Rabbi Aaron Kahn, who's he's Rosh Yeshiva NYU. He's a Rav in Brooklyn. He has a lot of very nice shirim on the Gra and Mishlei. I think OU, somewhere in the OU, I'm not exactly sure, but the Gra and Mishlei has a lot of very, very nice stuff. So look at what he says over here in Mishlei in Perek Yutes. The pasuk says, "Va'atz biraglayim chote, raglayim hu hamidos." He says raglayim refer to the midos of a person. Kishi yargila adam b'midos of hatovos. When a person becomes habituated in good midos, naslo katev becomes part of your nature. As should sarach leilich b'midos madrega ledarga midarga ledarga k'mo holich b'sulam, as you go up a ladder. V'lo yichpots l'madrega sheinu raila. Don't skip steps, says the Gra. And this is point number two, says Rabbi Hoffman. If you want to get in the derech of tshuva, don't skip steps. V'zeu atzber aglayim, shekofetz the mida gavoa. A person jumps to a mida, an area that's way above them, asher lolo, who chote, it's a sin. V'chasim yikot, you're going to lose everything. Ki palmena, because you're going to fall down the ladder. The problem is, when you skip steps on a ladder, you don't just not get to where you want to go. But what happens? You fall. And you break your head. So you fall and you break your head, you're misyayish, you give up. You're no longer interested in trying anymore. You become broken. Being on the proper path of tshuva means you have a plan. If the plan is ridiculous, if it's not feasible, then it's not being on the derech hatov. If you created for yourself an insane plan of what you want to be, and it's not within reason of what the next steps are, then that's not a path of tshuva. That's not the derech hatov. Because you've made a ridiculous plan. That's like saying in our mashal, the person who needs to get back to from a lots of Bnei Brak is like, oh, my car is going to fly. That's how I'm going to get back to Bnei. No, that's insane. Okay? That's not a path to correct it. Your car is going to fly. It needs to be in a normal way. It comes slowly and with patience. Look here at the next line in the Gra. He says, Amru Zal, Havbal Letar Misayno So. People who want to be purified, Hashem will help him. Ulpamim Adam Maschil. Lilmo Torah v'lasos mitzos. He begins to learn Torah and do mitzos. Be'achakach porish machmas shekashal meod. And you give up because it's too hard. Lefishein misayim lo, because you feel there was no help. Hashem, where were you? I said I was going to work on this. I was going to be better. And Hashem, you were supposed to help me. Where's your help? V'zoif al Hashem. And he gets angry at Hashem. Lama lo isayo. Why didn't you help me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ube'emes hu machmas evil aso. It's because you were foolish. Because you didn't go according to your level and you jumped. You thought you were climbing the ladder, but you weren't. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to help you be ridiculous. You were making ridiculous claims about what you thought you could do. How you're going to change everything overnight. So you get upset at Hashem. Hashem, where were you when I needed you, when I wanted to work on this thing? I failed. Where were you? Well, you said that you wanted to make $3 million in 1 year. So, says Hashem, that's not a derech hatov. That's insane. So you need to pick a path that's going to be reasonable. And then Hashem will help you. Don't get upset at Hashem. He says, v'zeh ivelas adam chlomar, machmas ivilaso, because of your foolishness, she'asa bilsi yishuv hadas silif darko, you went on a crazy path, v'uzov Hashem, and you got upset at Hashem. Lama lo sayo, Hashem, why didn't you help me? Why didn't you help herself, says Hashem? Why'd you come up with a not normal way of how to turn your life around? Stages, step by step, slowly. It's a derech, right? It takes a long time to get there. It doesn't matter how far away you are, as long as you're on the right path. That's number two. Number three, says Rabbi Hoffman, is to train ourselves in the virtue and the pleasure of amelus, of working on something. For many people, myself included, it is not fun to work on things that are difficult. But if you can train yourself to enjoy difficulty, a challenge, working on something, developing something, then it makes it much easier. The first thing a person has to enjoy is to work and to put an effort into something. The Gra writes in Mishlei Perek Tesvav, Lev Sameach, Ma Shalibo Sameach Ba'amelo, Ita Panim Shalo. If your heart is happy to work, then it'll be good for you. You got to enjoy the process, the working, the struggle. I'm gonna develop it. I'm gonna fall down. I'm gonna get back on it. But it's gonna be enjoyable. It's gonna be geschmack. There's sipuk hanefesh, an enjoyment at working on something and putting in the effort to a project to improve yourself. In addition, reminding ourselves that lufum tsar agra, no pain, no gain, and that a Kadosh Baruch Hu rewards the effort and not the final project. Right? We all, I assume, have heard at some point the idea of the Chafetz Chaim. Right? Anu amelim v'hem amelim. Right? We struggle and they struggle. We get schar, they don't get schar. An mekabim schar, v'hem einu mekabim schar. Why, says the Chafetz Chaim? Because when we work on it, we get a reward, even if we're not successful. When they work on it, by the rest nations of the world, when they work on something, and a guy is tasked to build a building, and he puts in 5 years, and the building falls down, and nothing gets built, he doesn't get paid for that. He doesn't get paid for the struggle. We get paid for the struggle. Working on something, the geschmack and enjoying something makes it much easier. Satisfaction and enjoyment and achieving something is important as well. We'll look here with the Gra here in Mishlei in the beginning of the end of Perek Aleph. Says the Gra, "An masai pisim shimnei adam hamisrach kim atzma min haTorah hu machmas shlosh inyanim." People distance themselves from Torah for three reasons. Harishon, machmas shnitaftu biyitzron leilech achar taibas alamaseh, because their yetzer hara has schlepped them along to go after taibas of this world. V'sovrim shizeu be'etzem tov, and I think this is good. V'yezeh kamo kein la'olam. V'sheni, the second thing is, machmas shechafetzim ledavar dvarim b'teilim. They want silly things. Avshein b'zeh hana olam hazeh, even though they don't even get any pleasure from this. It's just a waste of time. V'kamakum v'sukakas. For some reason, it's sweet to them. V'ashlishi, machmas shetamudam kasha lehem, because it is hard, and people don't like to struggle, people don't like to work. I want to have good midos, know a lot of Torah, be a great davener, and have all these things, and not work at it. Would that be great for everybody here? Take a pill, swallow it, and you get whatever you want? That is not what it's about. There's no geschmack in that. Working on something, developing, challenging yourself, is where the geschmack comes from. Because shalom sheina Torah bali adam ozim osa, and people see, Torah is too hard. I have to work in Judaism? I'm not interested in that. I'll check out somewhere else. Ki einam ro'am misikusa, they don't see the sweetness and the geschmack, the enjoyment of struggling and working on something and seeing their own accomplishments. There's ways to do it, from the babyish way of charts, rewards, for yourself, whatever it is. There's ways to enhance and make geschmack the challenge. So you have to find for yourself what's going to make that struggle, what's going to make that amelus and that midah, that thing you want to work on, enjoyable, exciting, interesting for you. Whatever it is, it can be as immature and childish as you want. You don't have to tell anybody that you made yourself a gold sticker chart, whatever you want. It's between you and your chart. It can be something more sophisticated. It can be whatever shtick that you want to try to trick your brain into making it enjoyable to work and to process and to develop something. Okay? Good. We'll stop here.